Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents War Against All Puerto Ricans, Revolution and Terror in America's Colony by Nelson A. Dennis. Narrated by Peter Burkrot. There will be war to the death against all Puerto Ricans. E. Francis Riggs, Chief of Police of Puerto Rico. They were conquerors. They grabbed what they could get for the sake of what was to be got. It was just robbery with violence, aggravated murder on a grand scale. The conquest of the earth, which mostly means the taking it away from those who have a different complexion or slightly flatter noses than ourselves, is not a pretty thing when you look into it too much. Joseph Conrad, Heart of Darkness. Preface. My mother was Puerto Rican. My father was Cuban. They worked very hard, and we lived in a small but spotless apartment in New York City's Washington Heights. I was 8 years old when men from the FBI banged on our door at 3 a.m. No one understood what was happening. My mother screamed, my grandmother cried, and I hid behind a curtain. The FBI agents grabbed my father and took him away. We never saw him again. It was October 1962, the height of the Cuban Missile Crisis, and someone had denounced my father as a spy. There was no trial or administrative hearing, no evidence or due process. He was simply deported to Cuba. A few months later, in June 1963, Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy received his annual Immigration and Naturalization Service report, which stated, "Investigation of Cuban refugees increased during this year. Under this pressure, a number of Cubans alleged to be subversive departed prior to the completion of the investigations. These included Antonio Dennis Jordan, suspected Cuban G2 agent in New York City." My father was an elevator operator and a member of the janitors' union, 32BJSEIU. He supported the Cuban Revolution and spoke in favor of it during the late 1950s. He even read Bohemia, a leftist magazine, and showed me the 1959 Bohemia of Freedom issue, with its gruesome photos of bodies massacred by Cuban dictator Fulgencio Batista. He was a Cuban patriot, but he was not a spy. This didn't matter to the United States, which never allowed him to return. My mother raised me by herself, working in belt factories for $50 a week, and I vowed to become a lawyer so that no one would knock on our door again and rip our family apart. As a Harvard undergraduate, I noticed a strange thing in Widener Library. It had 57 miles of shelves and 3 million books, but the 1973 card catalog contained not even a single volume about Pedro Albizu Campos, the principal figure in Puerto Rican political history. I responded with my own scholarship, a study of the fraudulent constitution of Puerto Rico, which became the cover story for the 1977 Harvard Political Review. Over the subsequent 40 years, I have continued to research the life and death of Albizu Campos. I visited my family in Puerto Rico dozens of times, particularly in Caguas, where they helped me meet members of the Nationalist Party, a political organization deeply committed to Puerto Rican independence. Some of these nationalists served time with Albizu in the Atlanta Federal Penitentiary. Others were imprisoned with him in La Princesa, a prison in San Juan. Still others were tortured in Aguadilla. All of them had vivid memories of El Maestro, the teacher, and the revolution he ignited. I wasn't writing a book yet. I was recovering my own past and understanding certain quirks in the Puerto Rican personality. For example, we see so many huge, surrealistic flags during the New York Puerto Rican Day Parade because all Puerto Rican flags were illegal on the island from 1948 until 1957. Even a Nobel Prize nominee, Francisco